Please turn with me this evening to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. The first letter of Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Just one verse to consider tonight as we study God's word. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. My title tonight, my subject tonight is Husbands' Hindered Prayers. What hinders the prayers of every husband? We dealt earlier in an earlier Bible study about the duties, the role. In verse 1 and 6, you have six verses given to wives' guidance and duties and behavior, demeanor. It's an evangelistic and a gospel duties given to her. But for husbands, Peter consecrate or dedicate just one verse. And no preacher, no Bible teacher should really skip this verse, because it is pregnant. It speaks volumes about the husband duties in his married life. My dear friends, have you forgotten your vows, the vows you made to one another? What did you say that day? It is said even sometime in secular weddings, but certainly when it is said in the Church of Jesus Christ, before believers, before God, it must have its weight. It must be heavy. It must be important. From this day forward, you said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in thin and thick life matters, you have said these things, until death alone divides us. This is God's commandment. You said that. But my dear friend, what happened? You were so charming when it comes to courtship. Oh, I often say to younger ones, at least younger than me, you remember how trembling you were that day when even to say to the young lady, please, can we become friends? You were trembling. You lost your voice. But now, you are married. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But you are deformed. Instead of being reformed, you are deformed. What happened? So these are really questions we want to answer to as we study the husband's duties in his married life. My dear friends, this verse gives us spiritual and practical exhortations about everyone's duty who is married. The husband submits to God by honoring his wife. That's how Peter starts. Likewise, ye husbands. And that word, likewise, you go back to chapter 3, verse 1, it is already there. Meaning what? This is the distribution of a husband's duties. The husband is to obey the Lord. He is to submit to the Lord, and he does that by honoring his wife. Oh, my dear friends, again, you know these things. We are only reminding them to you. You know, a wife is a gift according to the Bible. And who finds one, Bible says, has found a favor of the Lord. It is a favor of the Lord. Oh, we should never forget that. That's why the husband, according to the Bible, is never to abdicate his role. Never. But at the same time, he is never to claim his authority. Never. Why? Because when these things are understood, when they are spiritually understood, my dear friends, you do not have any authority. Any authority we have as believers, it is really a delegated authority. And you will give an answer about all your use and misuse of that authority before the living God. So some may say, oh, I'm not married, this doesn't concern me. But you see, marriage is the key building block in a healthy society. Married, unmarried, men, women, young and old alike, everyone, we need to protect marriage in our society. Otherwise, it will be chaos. It will be anarchy. So, how a husband leads, cleaves, loves, treats, and relates to his wife is very important. And that's why no husband should use, quote, or misuse or abuse the Bible to bully or belittle his wife. And I can tell you again, in my little experience, I have met husbands who are able boldly to say to the wife, look at it, it's here in the Bible. That's what the Bible says. That's bullying. And it's not the way husbands should really relate to their wives. So, here are a few things that will make submission, my dear friends, may I say, it will make submission a delight, a joy, because it is so biblical, and the Lord will help every husband and every wife in their marriage. But remember, before I really explain more in the verse, Peter was a married man. We read it in the Gospels. We read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He was a married man, and he was even traveling with his wife. Meaning what? Peter is aware, he knows well what are the family tensions. So he's not somebody just there telling us what to do. Of course, we know he's an inspired man also, and that makes it even better. And Peter, normally, you ask in the world, Most husbands are in trouble with their mother-in-law. But that was not the case of Peter. You remember how he loved, they got along so well that when his mother-in-law was not well, the first thing he did is to present her to the Lord. And the Lord healed her. And what did she do after that? She was serving them, serving the Lord. So this is a man who is speaking to us from his own also experience. So, my dear friends, no formula. Sometimes people come to us, what should I do? No formula. You can read all the books about marriage, but the Bible suffices. The Bible is sufficient. You don't need any book. If you read the Bible, it tells you everything you need to know about life, about godliness, about marriage, who is God, how to know yourself, how to know the world, how to run away from sin. We don't need any library of books, because we have the book, and this is from God. My dear friends, if you see Christ in your marriage, I believe you will see things differently. That's the problem with many of us. Do you see marriage like it is an illustration, it is an image, it is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church, but in a tiny way? So you understand that your marriage, your family life will be completely different. So I have 4, 5, 6 things maybe to say about this verse, but the first one, I must start there. What is a husband? What is a husband? And I believe the word husband or husbandry is really an agricultural metaphor, meaning hard worker, meaning endurance, meaning long-suffering, meaning patience, meaning perseverance. A farmer has to persevere. But the word husband also means a unifier, a joiner. And actually, if you want me to make it very simple, it is in the word. The word husband means the one who bands the house together. That's really the root, the etymology of the word. The one who burns the home, the house together. But that's the first thing to bear in mind when we speak about husbands. But the second thing, which you may think is so obvious, but it's not obvious in our world today. Husband means a man. A man. And that is relevant today because our world is redefining the roles, the duties, the genders. No more men, no more women. But from the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, God said the husband is to be a man. And that's very important. So a husband is a man. It is God who said so. The third thing, a husband is a married man to a woman. He is a married man to a woman, not a man to a man. Who is the husband then? But a married man to a woman. And this is what God has said from the beginning. And also not just a man living with a woman. That is fornication. We have to spell out these things. If you are only living, cohabiting with somebody without marriage, that is fornication according to the Bible. And it is a big, big sin. But fourthly, unnatural union. I won't spell anything on that. I'm sure you understand what I mean. Romans chapter 1. Unnatural union. No matter how the state and the society legalize it, is a sin. It is a sin. And that is the greatest perversion, the greatest corruption, to use a biblical word. It is corruption, and it should never be in the case, because marriage is always between a man and a woman. My dear friends, any twist, any switch of those matters is perversion. And fifthly, I have to add, when we speak about husbands, any change of the roles, any change of the genders, is again the greatest rebellion against God. And my dear friends, all these things are coming into our world. You know why? Because our world has rejected God. If you reject God, what standards do you have? Do I have? Do we have? Nothing. So do as I like. I become just like an animal. I don't want to give accountability to anyone. But my dear friends, we are higher than animals. God has given us the mind. He has given us reason, faculties of reasoning. He has given us a soul. And the soul will be restless until it finds its peace in God. So that's the first thing I wanted to spell out. Husband is a big term. It's not a plain term. And it has a great responsibility. But look at the verse. Peter says, husbands, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them in knowledge. So the first thing in relation to the husbands is dwell with them. Reside with them. Live with them. Actually, the word wife there is the word female in Greek. It's the word female. So dwell with masculine? Oh, God forbid. God forbid. That's the greatest ingratitude. How did you come into this world? I'm not speaking to you, but that person who says, no, gender doesn't matter. I'm a man, I love a man. I'm a woman, I love a woman. But how did you come into this world? What a great insult to God and to self. But it says, dwell with them, female. The word female. Dwell with them. Man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. From the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, God said so. So dwell with them. The dwelling together begins in marriage only, not before. And we have to precise that also in our world today. The dwelling together begins in marriage, not before. So make a home together. Dwell physically with your wife and dwell with them, not with your friends, not with your hobbies, not with your career, not with your travelings around the world. This is again what is happening. Oh, dwell with them, meaning don't desert them. Dwell with them, meaning don't spend all day in your career, so when you come back home, there is nothing for the home. Dwell with them. Live as husband and wife, not as roommates. And I can tell you that can happen also. People living together as roommates, no more as husbands and wife. What a sin. What a big sin before God. Live with her, not against her. Be there for her. So much given to your work and success that nothing is done for her. That is a big sin also. But I want to be practical. Please do not deify, make your home also a god that at the end of the day, nothing is done for the Lord. You see, the big danger, and many, the homemaking nowadays, all for the family, all for the children, and nothing is left for the Lord. That is, it doesn't have that equilibrium in the life of a believer. Do for your family, do for your work, do for the Lord. And I should even put the Lord first for a godly home. It is hard to live as a husband and to fulfill your duty as a husband if you live at long distance. Oh yes, we sympathize with people who have to be separated for 6 months, 1 year. But may I tell you, it is never good on both sides. It is not good for the wife, it is not good for the husband. It makes them, both of them, to be vulnerable. But as I said, I sympathize with people who have really, because of work's sake, live at distance. But the ideal, dwell with them. That's what God said in his word. And my dear friends, if you are married, remember you are married, you are not single anymore. Because some people do so. But I must come to the second. Now, after Peter said, dwell with them, and he said, according to knowledge, according to knowledge. I have to add, according to the knowledge of the truth contained in the word of God. That knowledge you need to exercise towards your wife is not invented in dictionaries or encyclopedias or in philosophy. But it is what the wisdom that is contained in the word of God. And that will help you to dwell with them according to knowledge. According to knowledge. And knowledge here, I'm sure everyone knows, every believer knows that when the Bible speaks about knowledge, it's not just about intellectual knowledge. It speaks about personal, individual, intimate knowledge, experiential knowledge. So dwell with them. But you see, it is not through, please, if I may change my mind and change your mind also, it is not through that it is impossible to understand women. That is what the world is saying. They are from Mars and we are from another planet. That's what the world is saying. But you see, Peter says, dwell with them according to knowledge, and God will never ask us to do something that is impossible. So study your wife in conjecture with the word of God. Not just reading books about marriage. Read and understand your wife from the word of God. After the Lord, please, may I speak with you from my heart. After the Lord, if you are married, the next person you need to study is your wife. That's your course. And guess what? From the day of your conversion, there are three two persons and one thing. If you forgive me using the word thing, I will explain. There are three things you have to study the rest of your life. The first one is the Lord. The second one is your wife. The third one is the Bible. And you will never be graduated from those three things. It's lifetime long. You will have to study them. So knowing a person takes time and it requires action. Very important. So women do not think, they do not act, they do not sense, they do not feel like us. Please remember, you are not married to a man, but to a woman. That's what the Bible says. So learn to know her fears, her delights, her worries, her feelings, her instrumentality, her gifts, her talents. But you see, God is good. He's not asking me to study all women, but one, just one. So we are fortunate. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. See, just one. So dwell with them according to knowledge. And you see, you study them. This is not vain. It's not shallow. It's not light. You study them. You care for them in order to help them. That's the beauty of the Word of God again. So you study her, you learn her, you read her, and in order to care for her. The next thing Peter tells us, dwell with them, reside with them, live with them. But the second, study them, get to know them. And the third thing Peter says, as a weaker vessel. Please again, if I could change your mind on that, I have fulfilled something tonight. But the word weaker vessel here, if you replace the word vessel, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the word vessel is the same word in the Greek text, and it has been translated there as the word body. Body. But we will explain. Don't jump into conclusions yet. And don't think it speaks about any sense of inferiority. Never. Never, the Bible never speaks with such language. It is nowhere in the Bible. And it has nothing to do with the internal. That's why it is about the external, the flesh. That's only what we should really point. And I know weaker vessel is a hated expression. Look, the feminists, look what the Bible, the Christians, they are belittling you. You are nothing with them. But it has nothing to do with that. Weaker vessel simply means we are not the same. That's the meaning. We are not the same. Even science says so. But I will tell you something very unscientific. Look at men or women on the phone. You will see the difference. Just look at them on the phone. Already, that's unscientific. But even science, you can go and study science. Science says we are different. God created us with different roles. So we are all, in one way, earthen vessels, Bible says. Earthen vessels. Weak vessels, all of us. Bible, actually, David is so honest, he said, we are nothing but dust. So when you think weaker means frail, fragile, that's not what it means. Because you and me, as husbands also, or men, we are fragile. We are only dust before the Lord. Weaker vessels means she is precious. She is delicate. That's the meaning, weaker vessel. It means she is valuable. She is priceless. Handle her with care, with tenderness. Protect her, nourish her, cherish her, honor her. That's what the Bible says. Ephesians 5, we read it. So it has nothing to do with her mental condition. It has nothing to do with her intellect. It has nothing to do with her being a good communicator. Actually, they communicate even better. So it has nothing to do with emotional stability. But look at the verse. The verse is so rich. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel. Oh, weaker vessel means that she is It is a comparative term, really, comparative to men. That's all it means also. And it is a fact of life, you know that, I'm sure. Generally speaking, men have more muscle brute than women. Of course, I know, I don't fool myself. There are bodybuilders, women, who can lift me up and throw me, I don't know, 100 meters away. But I'm speaking, and that's why it's always very, very hard to generalize things. You don't generalize things. But we are speaking only about muscles. Godly women, actually, Proverbs 31. We don't have time to turn to the verse. But the wife, the godly woman in Proverbs 31, it says there that she is clothed with strength. Is this a weaker person? No. I like, I told you last time, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. And the text there, I looked at it in the Greek. It says actually, in the Greek, in English it says guides in the home. But the Greek says despots in the home. It means they are the ones who keeps the home. They make that home to be a place to live. It's very positive. The word despot in a long time ago was a good word. It has nothing to do with evil. So many men are using their strength to abuse their wives. That should never be the case of a believer, a believing husband. A believing and loving husband doesn't take advantage of his wife. Please consider her views, consider her opinions, consider her expertise on things. So many times their perception and insight is greater than ours. So don't dismiss them. And don't impose your will and your opinions upon her because of your strength and because of your deep voice. You know, when you speak, we know this is a man, not a woman. And you are frightening, you are bullying. The chief of the village is speaking. Everyone must listen. That should never be the case of a believer in the home. Oh, use your strength to nourish her, not to bully her. Don't put on her more than she can handle. Please, husbands, may I plead with you not to be critical, not to be sarcastic, but to be an encourager to your wife. This is the person God has given you. When I take weddings in the church here, I often say, this is a miracle. Marriage is another miracle. Millions and millions of people in this world, but God picks this one, not that one, for you, just for you. It is like it has been framed for you. The puzzle, if another piece wouldn't fit, but just this one. It is a miracle. So please, husband, climb down. Make peace in the home. Seek for peace in the home. But I must come to the fourth thing Peter says in verse 7 again, where he says, giving honor unto the wife. You remember, Peter said, honor the king. He said, honor the Lord. But now he says, honor your wife. Oh, may I exaggerate? Please allow me, in my foolishness, to exaggerate. Roll up the red carpet for her. Roll up the red carpet for her as a sign of your love. Assign her and grant her honor as an equal. If you are taking notes later, read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11. Equal before God. So this is revolutionary, really, what the Bible says about women here, that we are equal. It was a no-go in the Roman culture. So it was something really revolutionary. Speak well about her. Treat her with great respect and honor. Listen to her. Think of how Christ, our Lord, treated every woman he encountered. I want to do one day that study. I don't know when. But just Christ with every woman he encountered in the Gospels. How he treated them with great honor, with great respect, great care, great affection. While they were serving him also. And remember how Christ treats the church. That's what Ephesians chapter 5 is all about. So speak well about them. And never use your husbandhood to hurt her or to mistreat her. My dear friends, can I say something? I know this is hard, but an abusive husband is a monster. He's a monster. He's a devilish person. And he should never be even called a believer. Because this is against the word of God. Uphold her good name. Provide spiritually but financially. Prize her counsel, as we said, and receive her correction. Love is always connected with appreciation and respect. Always. Those three things are always together. Respect, love, and appreciation. Always. They go together. So honor the one who maintains the home. Honor the one who gives life in the home. Even a physical life. This is, to use an expression people often say, this is the mother of your children. So honor her. Honor her talents in serving the Lord. Please don't hinder your wife from serving the Lord. It is another big sin a husband could commit in his life. Do not quench her zeal to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord. And the next thing Peter says, heirs together. I like that word together. You know, it shows the unity again. Heirs together, side by side. And I can tell you, in many religions, the Mormons, even in Islam, the wife is saved through her husband. Through her husband. But the biblical faith, we said earlier, this is revolutionary. Husband, you will not stand before the Lord and speak on behalf of your wife. No, she is saved equally, like you, equal, side by side, and heirs of the same grace. So when it comes to salvation, there is no greater or lesser, weaker or stronger. All equal before the Lord, with equal values and access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the same promises. You cannot take one promise in the Bible and say, this is for husbands only, or this is for wives only. They are all for us. We have spiritual equality before God, and we have the same access to Him. Both husbands and wife need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I must close. Husbands hindered prayers. Look at the end of verse 7. What will hinder your prayers as a husband, even as a believer? David said, if I have counted iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I have regarded iniquity, God will answer my prayers. So in verse 7, Peter says, that your prayers, this is the consequence. You see the consequence? If all the things we have listed so far, if they are not there, which means the way you treat your wife is in link, in interconnection with your relationship with God. But as again, when I take weddings, I often say, in the morning, when you leave home, if you cannot look your wife and say, darling, or whatever word you use, I love you, please don't say anything to God. Your prayers will not go beyond the ceiling. They will remain. God will block them. He will say, no more. I don't want to hear to you. I don't want to hear your prayers. Why? Because you are a disobedient husband. So, my dear friends, many of our prayers will not be answered. And the Greek word, again, hinder there, means really to cut up. Cut it up and to stop any access. So just imagine, please have me against you, but don't have God against you. You will be in trouble. your life will be miserable. To have God, just imagine how many things, how many troubles, how many trials, how many needs we have daily. And because of the way we treat our wives or we treat even other women, God is blocking our prayers and saying to us, Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, the hand of the Lord is not short, his hand is not short, his ears are not deaf to hear you. But what makes God to block and not to answer our prayers, our sins and iniquities? So this is a verse which is saying to all of us, repent from the way you treat your wife. Confess your sins to the Lord and forsake that evil behavior. The home should never be a war zone or a rivalry field. It should never be the case. The husband may not be the source of every problem in the home. I have to underline that. The husband may not be the source of every problem in the home, but guess what? He is the key to the solution. He has to climb down. He has to take that initiative first and make peace with the wife. The way we treat our wives and our prayers are interconnected. And this required, as I said, self-examination. Every husband should examine his heart, and unconfessed sins, unkind words, persistent disagreement, and desertion, being in the home but being in the body, yes, but the spirit is vagabond elsewhere. Unfeeling, unclean feelings and desires, indecent behavior. My dear friends, all these things can hinder your prayers before the Lord. But the good news is that when a husband honors his wife, his prayers have a wide way to the Lord. So may the Lord answer our prayers, each one of us, as his children. And may he grant us to live for his glory and to be instrumental in our lives, married or unmarried. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 444. Hymn number 400.